Blog Talk Radio.
You know that the ice cream scoop can make a child smile, and that by slowing us down, the traffic light can keep us going. You know that the lawnmower makes life easier, that the blood bank makes life possible. But did you know all these ideas came from the minds of African Americans? Support the United Negro College Fund, because a mind is a terrible thing to waste. Visit uncf.org or call 1-800-332-UNCF. Brought to you by UNCF and the Ad Council.
Good morning and welcome to Saturday Mornings with Joy Keyes. I'm your host, Joy Keyes. Thank you for joining me. I have a wonderful guest, Marty Reguster, talking about his adventures in Torin, Poland. Yes, I said Torin, Poland. He is a prize-winning photographer from the Philadelphia area, and he was involved with the International Visitors Council of Philadelphia. He went with their Sister Cities program with a project called Torin in the Twin Lens. He was a diplomat over in Poland, and he went and met with 9 other photographers from around the globe. Good morning, Marty.
Good morning, Joy Keyes. How are you this morning?
I'm wonderful.
Hello to all your listeners.
Oh, thank you for joining us. So this is wild. I just want everybody to know, and I think it's important to note, that you're an African-American photographer going to Torin, Poland. Let's start off with, why did you become a photographer? What sparked your interest in photography?
Well, I fell into photography by happenstance. It was just years ago. You know, my schooling was done here in Philadelphia, and I walked away from a career. And I took almost a year off, and back then there were great money market accounts and interest accounts and on and on and on. So I had enough money, but I didn't have an income. So what had happened, I just did a list. I'm a list person, and I said, what is it that I can do that I like, make money, and be happy? And photography was not on that list, though. Photography was not on that list.
Okay.
I happened to be at a store, and a guy came in and asked me, was I a photographer? And I said, no. He said, do you want to learn photography? And I said, sure. This guy took me under his wing, and for about 6 months had me in his studio, taught me everything I needed to know, basically lighting, shooting, dealing with people, on and on and on. And
wow, just happenstance. Just a guy walked up to you.
Happenstance.
Amazing.
And, he told me, he said, you know enough now, get out and go do your own thing. And I was like, okay, you know. So I came out and, did my licensing and all that, you know, through the city, the whole thing. Got some cards made up. And back then I was known as Have Camera Will Travel. So that was so long ago. And I started doing weddings, you know, and I really loved them. Oh, Joy, I loved weddings so much. You know, I was doing 1, 2, 3 weddings a weekend, you know.
Wow.
And I did that for about 13 years. And every wedding turned into another job. And what happened, I did this one big wedding, and I met this young lady who was in the wedding, and she asked me, did I do entertainment? And, of course, you know, you say you do everything. I said, so
right, you
got to
say yes. You got to say yes on the spot.
So she happened to be with a record company. That was CBS Records up in New York. I'll never forget this. And she brought me in and had me doing things with them. You know, the artists were coming into Philadelphia. Atlantic City was just beginning, and there was a radio station just starting out here in Philly. That was Power 99.
Okay.
They were doing their big events at the old convention center, you know, Powerhouse, on and on and on. I was the photographer for all that.
And this is the man who didn't have photography on the list of one of his lists.
Did not have it on my list. No way. No.
So you like the weddings, but now you got into entertainment. What do you think you like better? You like just the standard, you know, doing the weddings, or you like more creative things with models and entertainment and singers? Which one do you like better?
Well, let me tell you, Joy Keyes, I can't stand weddings now. I can't stand them. I hate them with a passion.
Oh, my God.
I've done over 500 weddings, and Joy, I have never done a wedding that started on time. Never. I've had drill sergeant coordinators say, oh, yes, this wedding's going to start on time, and this is going to happen, and this is going to happen. And I just go, okay, we'll see.
Right.
Nothing ever starts on time. And
do the entertainers come on time? Do the entertainers come to the spot?
Well, they aren't on time, but, you know, how you're billing them, it doesn't much matter, you know.
Right. You're going to get paid either way.
Exactly.
What's one of your favorite jobs that you've had in your last 30 years you've been doing photography? I mean,
that's really hard. That's really
what
hard.
About the
no,
top three?
I think one of them was shooting Luther Vandross. Another one, that was in the entertainment. Another job was something I did for one of my big HMOs here in the city.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And then another I would think would be, what would another be? Well, geez, it would have to have been this last assignment, you know, just going to Torrance.
Going to Torrance.
That's the highlight.
Let's talk about that. So the International Visitors Council sent you over there. Now, how did you get involved with the International Visitors Council?
Let me tell you this story. This another happen.
Another happen.
In the right place at the right time. And just, you know, no good people. I was shooting an event for Beepers, the Black Public Relations organization here in Philadelphia, and Melanie Johnson from the mayor's office, Mayor Michael Nutter's assistant, came up to me and said, Marty, would you be interested in going to Poland to represent the city? And I just started laughing. You know,
you're like, is she serious?
Jesus Christ, Poland. You know, like, can't you go with something better? Poland.
She didn't say California. She didn't say Atlanta. She said Poland.
Poland. You know, I'm like, I just laughed at her. She said, no, I'm serious. So she told me what it was about, you know, that Torin, Poland was the sister city of Philadelphia and what they do. And I'm like, oh, wow, okay, I'll be interested in that. So she said, I'm going to have someone give you a call about it, on and on and on. So I'm like, okay, bingo. So, I'm thinking that this is next year or something. She said, okay, it's going to happen in June, you know, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, okay. And the next week I get an email from the IVC, the International Visitors Council of Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they were saying, you know, Melanie Johnson recommends you this and on and on and on. So they wanted me to come in for a meeting, and I'm like, okay. And so I said, when is this? And they said it's going to be June the 20th.
Oh my God, what year?
You know, so I'm like, okie dokie, you know. So I went in and had a meeting and showed them my work, and everybody was like, you know, ooh wee, this and that, and on and on and on. And it was fun. It was a good meeting. You know, I met with all women, you know, the executive director of the IVC.
And I just want to tell the audience, he's a charmer, so, you know, he's a charmer. So if he had all women, he already had the thing in his pocket, you know.
And fantastic meeting, and walked away, and they said, well, give me a call the next day or shoot me an email. And the next day I get this email, you know, we selected you to be the photographer to go to represent the United States in Philadelphia.
Wow.
On the Open Lens Project. So I'm like, okay.
I mean, this is an awesome opportunity. I mean, so many people are just only able to go down the corner, around the corner. We're in the middle of a recession. You're able to go across the globe to meet with other photographers, other creative people. So you got on the plane and you went over there. What's like the first thing that kind of happened to you when you got there?
Oh, gee whiz. Well, let me tell you the story getting there first.
Okay.
I flew to Philadelphia. I was on Air France, and the week before, of course, Air France had that tragedy. And so I'm like, you know, so I fly from Philadelphia directly to Paris, and from Paris, I'm going to Warsaw. I get to Paris. I hate that airport. I missed my flight. And, you know, the security lines were just so long. So I missed my flight. I go to the.
So you have to spend the night in Paris?
No. They put me on a plane that's leaving in 3 more hours. So I'm okay. So I get that and fly into Warsaw. And then from Warsaw, I have to go. I'm getting a train. I got to go to the train station, and I'm going to get the train into Torun, which is 3 hours away from Warsaw.
Now, was somebody with you? I mean, how did you know what train or the language is different? The signs are in Polish. What happened when you got to Warsaw?
Everything was in Polish. But what's so amazing, a lot of people spoke English. A lot of the younger folks spoke English. You know,
mm-hmm.
I don't care where you go on this planet, somebody's going to speak English. You know?
That's right.
So that helped me quite a bit. And everyone was very helpful to me, you know. When it really hit me, though, about who I was and where I was, is when I got off the plane in Poland, in Warsaw, and I came through customs, and I came through these glass smoke doors, and the doors opened up, and all these people were standing out there, you know how they are at the airport with signs waiting for someone. And it was, you know, it was noisy when the doors opened. When I came through the doors, it just got so quiet, and all eyes were on me. You know, like,
let me tell the audience that, how tall are you, about 6'3"?
6'3". Mm-hmm.
6'3". I don't know how much you weigh, but, he's a nice little guy. And I'm African American, and I went to Poland. I was in Poland for 6 weeks, and I can relate to that experience because I remember going through some glass doors, getting off, and I also got off at a plane in Warsaw, and I had stayed there for a couple of days in Warsaw, and you are seriously a minority as
yes,
African American in
yes,
Poland, and I had long braids in my hair. I didn't have straight hair. Like, I have straight hair now. I might be in the past. Like, oh, maybe she's German and African or something like that.
Right.
No, you knew I was a black person with my long braids. So you got to Warsaw, the doors open, and now the silence.
The doors open. Everybody's, like, just gazing and gawking at me. You know, I'm like, wow, okay. You know, well, my zipper's not down, and, you know, I wipe my mouth. You know, okay. So I walk, and now I have to get out of the airport onto the bus to go to the train station.
Mm.
So I asked one person, and he spoke English, sent me where to go. I jump on the bus, bingo, gone. Get to the train station. That was a whole nother set of circumstances.
Mm.
Train station's huge, just like New York's train station.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Wow-wee. So I missed the train and didn't know I missed it. Because there are like five platforms, and I was on the wrong platform. Somebody told me, no, you need to go here. Boom, I get on the train. Great. Train ride was fantastic. You know, beautiful, beautiful country.
Yes.
Beautiful country.
Yes.
I mean,
beautiful countryside, yes.
Wow. Incredible. Fresh air, friendly people on the train, everything,
Yes.
So I get off the train. I'm riding like 3 hours on the train. Finally, I get off the train. And I had made a call on my cell phone back home to Joy, letting her know that I was getting here.
Mm-hmm.
And got off the train, got into a cab, and I went to call the people, at the castle in Turin, who was the IBC in Turin. And Joy, I lost my phone. My iPod, my brand new iPod was on the train.
Pain.
So the train
I'm feeling
off.
The pain.
Oh my God.
Brand new iPod.
But you know what? It was such a blessing in disguise. A blessing in disguise. That my phone blows up all the time. And it was great because I wasn't getting any calls. You know, it was just like, man.
Freedom.
Man,
freedom from the rest of the world a little bit. Yeah.
But I had to email Joy and let her know to cut my service off,
Right, so nobody uses it.
I can use the phone, even though, I had a block on there, but still, who knows.
Yeah,
so I get to the castle, and I arrive probably about 6 o'clock that evening. Come in, I go into the dining room, and everybody's there but me, and they're waiting on me, really, to eat dinner. So I came in, hi, I'm Marty Regusters from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. And everybody's looking at me like, I said,
uh-oh.
Let me really break some ice now, I went around and shook everybody's hand. I said, what's your name? Blah, blah, blah. And, the guys from the Ukraine were cool. The ones from England were cool. Everybody was really cool.
So where you had some people from Ukraine, where else were the
Ukraine,
photographers from?
Great Britain. Let's see, Sweden. Denmark.
Wow.
Let's see. There was
so it was a huge conglomerate of a variety of cultures.
Nine photographers. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone, we all shot completely different. The only thing we had in common that we had cameras, but we all shot completely different, and we all had our own spin on photography.
Right. So what did you learn from some of these photographers? What are some tips and tricks or styles?
The number one thing that I learned from the European photographers really was patience. Patience.
Mm.
it blew me away. Because here in the U.S., you know, we hit it and quit it. You know, blast, you know, get the shot, go. You know,
right.
We got to get this in the magazine, got to get this in the newspaper, the client needs
everything
this.
Everything fast, microwave
yeah,
style,
that,
yeah.
That,
mm-hmm.
Exactly. Let me tell you how these guys work. You know, we did a couple of workshops, and one of the workshops was going to the forest, okay? The forest, not the woods, not the park, the forest, okay? So I'm like, okay, I'm up for this. I'm not a nature photographer, don't know anything about it, but I'm like, okay. So I've got my backpack on, my cameras, and we go to the forest, you know, and we're trudging, and I'm like, this isn't what I'm
You're like a city guy.
For,
You're like, I'm
you
a city guy. I don't know about this. This
yeah,
is crazy.
Yeah. They were pointing things out to me that I would have just walked through the woods and never ever set my eyes on. Little wild strawberries, mushrooms here, you know, tracks going through the woods of this animal, that animal, you know, this is this kind of tree, that leaf, and I'm like, wow, it's blowing me away. And what they were doing, you know, they would set their tripod up, you know, and just set everything up to get a shot. And they would stay there maybe 15, 20 minutes just waiting, you know, looking
for the one
at
shot.
It and looking through the, yeah, then looking through the camera, you know, waiting again. Then maybe the wind would blow just slightly. Click, got it.
Boom.
And then
wow.
Digital, I would see it immediately like, whoa, it was blowing me away.
So what do you think? What do you think? We have about 14 minutes left. What do you think you brought to them? What do you think you were able to teach them about? Maybe was it the fast speed and the energy of the American style of shooting that you brought to the table?
Well, not just that. You know, it was just that. You know, we were going over each other's equipment, and of course, I'm a Nikon man. Nikon. And, a lot of them were Canon. You know, Canon people. And, you know, what we were doing, we were, you know, we'd switch off on each other's cameras, you know, talk about what our cameras could do and couldn't do. And then on the computer side of it, we all brought our laptops, thank goodness, and I was showing them things to do in Photoshop that they weren't aware of, and in Lightroom, which is another Adobe product, to do to enhance images, cropping images, doing this, doing that, you know. And,
right. So photography is joining with this computer world. It's not just, you know, I have a camera and shoot and go to the
no,
store
no,
and develop.
No,
you have
no.
a lot of tools now available through computer software.
It's endless what you can do with an image now. It is endless, you know.
So what kind of food did you eat over there? I mean, was it strange food? Did they have American food? I mean.
Did I lose weight? Did I lose weight? Let me tell you this. You know, you'd get up in the morning, and the sun would come up probably about 5:30 in the morning. You'd get up, we'd have breakfast. You know, I didn't see bacon and eggs there at all. You'd get
now,
up
when I went there, there was no breakfast. It was like cold food. It was pickled food. I mean, it was crazy. I was like, oh my God, I need some bread, something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it would be bread, some kind of jam, some yogurt.
Yeah.
Cheese,
yeah, yogurt.
Some
yeah,
kind of rolled
yogurt.
Meat, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, this is breakfast. I'm like,
yeah,
okay,
that was breakfast,
right.
Baby. Yeah.
And in Rome, yeah.
Exactly.
But then lunch, lunch, which is their dinner, was the big meal.
Yes.
And, you know, they're potato crazy over there. And
potatoes.
I don't want any more potatoes for a while. You know, I don't want any more cheese for a while.
Borscht.
You know?
Is it like borscht or something like that?
God.
Yes.
Everything. But you'd have veal or chicken or, you know, no beef at all. You know.
Yeah.
That was your big meal. And then the other, what I thought would be dinner, which would they serve about 8 o'clock at night, would be, again, cheese and some kind of salad and on and on and on.
Right,
so needless
right,
to say, at later that night, you know, we would get together and go out and eat somewhere, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, party.
Yeah, substance was just wasn't happening. But
we have about 11 minutes. I want to talk a little bit. I know you're doing some creative things with your photography. I know you talked about the weddings. You talked about entertainment. But what is Marty doing with his photography that you have complete control of, your artistic side? Talk about that a little bit.
Well, what's going on is I don't know if you know about my digital fusion.
Yeah,
and,
we want to talk about
that's
that.
A project,
yeah.
Mm-hmm, that's a project that I just created that or launched that about 2 years ago. And I've always wanted to be a painter. I've always wanted to paint. But, you know, my arm just couldn't do what my mind conceived, even though I've always been inspired by, you know, Gordon Parks, Salvador Dali, Picasso, on and on and on.
Wow,
you know?
Wow.
And matter of fact, when we were in Paris, we went to the Dali Museum.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
awesome.
Yeah, between
oh, so how long were you in Paris?
We were in Paris for 8 days, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay, now did you? That was just for you. That was not related to
right,
the program.
Right. That was just for us, you know. And
okay.
We did the Louvre. We did the Dali Museum, Picasso Museum, and you know. On
oh
and
man!
On, on,
and you
on,
wanted to be a photographer. You were heaven. You were in heaven.
Yeah.
You were in
exactly.
complete heaven there.
Exactly. Exactly. So this was really inspiring for me for my Digital Fusion projects, and Digital Fusion is what I'm doing. I'm painting, and then what I'm doing some enhancing with it. And doing these huge images like 20 by 24s, 30 by 40s, and 40
wow.
by
50s.
And, I mean, I did one show, and people just leaped on my stuff. You know,
yes, I remember you sent that, the message out to,
mm-hmm.
to, for your show and everything.
Yeah.
So what are you working colors? Is it black and white? I mean, is it people, figures, abstracts?
It's some of everything. It's some of all the above. And
okay.
it's I'm doing black and whites, and I'm doing colors. And
mm-hmm.
What I'm looking to do, one of the projects I'm working on now, will be a construction project, something that they're building, you know, in the area. And I'm going to do some of the work with, you know, getting my art in there, you know.
Installed
and,
in the building. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. And there's another... another mall that wants to display some of my stuff. So I'm looking to, you know, they want but they want things from Philadelphia. You
okay.
know, I'm looking to get my stuff in there in the next 2 months.
Then is there
also,
any place that somebody can see your art now? Is it displayed in any galleries in Philadelphia right now?
Well, what, they can go to my MySpace page.
Oh, okay.
Exactly. Go to
your MySpace. And what's your MySpace?
Go to Martin. It's Martin, M-A-R-T-I-N, Regusters, R-E-G-U-S-T. ERS. Go
okay.
to Regusters on my
awesome.
MySpace. And look, you'll also see some of the images from Poland, some of the stuff from Paris,
okay.
Some of my Digital Fusion work, and just some of my friends as well, and you know some of the things
right.
that I'm shooting over the years.
Do
and,
you see yourself working with any of these photographers you met in the future from the program?
Oh, yes, every day
wow.
we're communicating, you know, even though they're still, you know, that time difference is something else. So I'm
yeah.
answering them like 5 hours later. So we communicate every day. And looking to go back to Poland
yes.
Probably in November.
Oh, awesome. Can you take me with you?
Yeah,
can you take me with you?
I got room in the back, please. I got room in the back.
I was all over Poland. I was in Krakow. I was in Gdańsk near Russia. I was in Bydgoszcz, which is where our main focus was, Teatr Polski. I was in Poland for doing a theater show there with an American theater company, a Polish theater company. And I will go with Marty on this, that the people were just so open and welcoming. I maybe had one negative experience, but overall, 6 weeks, everybody was helpful. People were very friendly. And the artists there were just so open and hungry
mm-hmm.
to exchange and
That's
collaborate. And it just took you as an artist to a completely other level.
That's right.
No matter, I'm in theater, you're in photography, but every artist I usually speak to that gets a chance to go overseas, go to Africa, go to Asia, just collaborate outside the United States. Wow, they're just like on cloud nine when they come back to the U.S.
And
just really launches them.
They love talking about the U.S. They love you know the music is the same, you know.
Uh-huh.
Either on the radio you're hearing classical music, you're hearing R&B, you know.
Yes.
And while I was there when Michael Jackson had passed, that's all you heard was Michael. They love Michael Jackson, but they love talking about the United States, and they love Obama. Oh my God, they love Obama. They're
really?
So
yeah. What about that? I mean, that's interesting. We could talk about a little of the politics. Is that you're an American over here in Poland, and we have this African American, he's mixed, half white, half black president. What was some of the comments people were making?
Oh, they just, first of all, was just, you know, they'd look at me as an African-American and just do a thumbs up, you know. Oh, Obama. And I'm like, okay, got it. You know,
right.
But,
it's the time of the black man, you know.
That's what I'm talking about.
Look at you. You're going to Poland. Communist, used to be a communist country. You wouldn't have been able to step foot in there unless
no way,
you were probably
no
African going to some university there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, trying to get your PhD. Now,
mm-hmm.
you know,
it.
You're a photographer,
That's
you're an artist, being able to be open about your ideas. And I will tell you, the artists I spoke to that were older artists who were involved, were living there when communism was in effect, completely different than the younger artists.
Completely.
And you can see the tentativeness sometimes from them. And they would explain you know, because of their experiences and how happy they were to be able to express themselves openly and freely, you know.
Exactly right.
Yes,
but
yes.
You know, one of the things that they're very honorable people. I mean, very honorable, you know, and they're quite honest, you know. And that's the thing that I'd really say about anybody, you know, looking to get into photography or any business, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, you know, be honorable, you know, be honest, true to yourself. And for a photographer, you know, I tell them, shoot what you like. Then shoot for the people, you know, but shoot what you like. And always.
So you like, you said, what type of cameras do you like? We have about 5 minutes left. You said you like what type of cameras?
Oh, Nikons.
I'm a Nikon man.
I'm a diehard Nikon man. Yes, indeed.
Yeah.
No
and now
about.
Where should somebody go if it's a young person interested in photography? Is there a better school or you got mentored by a young, do you mentor anybody? I mean, are you
well,
in
I
that
mentor,
mode?
Yes, indeed. I have, I have three young people that I'm mentoring now and they're loving it.
And I'm
loving them too. I mean, they're diehard workers. You know, they're true to the craft.
Okay.
And what I would recommend for any young person, first find a photographer. You know, talk to him or talk to her. You know, and believe me, they are so approachable, and they'll just bring you in under their arms, teach you everything they can teach you, just like what happened to me. You know, and set you on your way. You know. That's
and then
really,
it opened up another door for you because you said you were interested in, you know, visual art painting.
Mm-hmm.
And I think from what I'm hearing is that this photography probably helped your eye when you started doing your actual painting and stuff.
That's correct. That's correct.
Yes.
It's you know, it's all in the geometry. You know, it's all in the color. You know.
Okay.
And you fit it in where you can fit it in. You know,
right,
that's where
right.
Digital Fusion came from. And the Digital Fusion is Fuzzion. So
okay, and your MySpace, tell me your MySpace again.
MySpace again is Martin, M-A-R-T-I-N, and Regusters, R-E-G-U-S-T-E-R-S, Martin Regusters on MySpace.
Marty, I'm so happy that you came on this morning, and I just want to thank you so much, and I wish you all the best. And now, where are you going to be? You said you're going to let us know when you have another show come up, because I can blast
yes,
the people that are listening.
Okay. Yes, indeed. Yes,
so stay in touch, all right? And all the best to you and Joy, and all the best for your photography. And I'll talk to you soon, okay?
Thank you so much for having me on, Joy, and thanks again for all your listeners for tuning in.
Thank you very much. And everybody, thank you for listening this morning. I want to let you know I'll be doing another show in a couple minutes with the Black Women's Arts Festival, so stay tuned.
You know that the ice cream scoop can make a child smile, and that by slowing us down, the traffic light can keep us going. You know that the lawnmower makes life easier, that the blood bank makes life possible. But did you know all these ideas came from the minds of African Americans? Support the United Negro College Fund, because a mind is a terrible thing to waste. Visit uncf.org or call 1-800-332-UNCF. Brought to you by UNCF.
Honey, put this on top of the minivan.
We're only going for 2 weeks. You want me to back the kitchen sink, too?
Well, is there room?
Hey, you guys. You going on vacation?
Who's that?
I don't know.
Because we're planning on robbing your house tonight.
All right, I'm calling an alarm service.
Wouldn't it be great if you could be warned of life's risks? If you have diabetes, you can. There's a simple blood test called A1C that can help measure your risk of complications from diabetes. Why is it important? Because more than 600 people every day die from diabetes and its complications. If your A1C is above 7, your doctor can show you how to lower it. If you have diabetes, know your risk. Know your A1C. Ask your doctor, or for more information, go to www.diabetesa1c.org or call 1-877-TEST-A1C. Brought to you by the American Diabetes Association, Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation International, and the Ad Council.